So reading Luther and taking liturgy courses in seminary were very much a part of my faith formation and how I look and think about liturgy and worship. But the most important lesson that I learned about liturgy was at a previous call and came from a woman experiencing homelessness. She was participating in an adult forum I was teaching one Sunday morning. We decided we knew Dr. King's speeches pretty well, but not so much his sermons. So we wanted to spend a few weeks studying them. I was really happy to see that a large number of women from the church's homeless ministry showed up for the series. That particular morning, we had about 15 kids from a suburban church doing an urban immersion as part of confirmation, and about 15 women who were part of the homeless ministry. So I knew it was going to be an interesting morning. I don't remember how we got there, but somehow we ended up talking about worship. And this woman said, "But you know what's wrong with your service?" And then she stopped because she was afraid that maybe she had overstepped. It's one thing you don't realize until you're immersed in homeless ministry, the self-censorship that goes on for fear you'll be kicked out, but knowing you're always dependent on others. I laughed and said, "Well, we're Lutheran. We're supposed to be always reforming. So tell me what's wrong with our services." And she said, "They are not joyful." She explained what she meant by that. It was a very thoughtful response, and it profoundly changed the way I think about what worship should be. Joyful doesn't have to mean exuberant, but if we really truly believe that God sent God's Son so that our sins are forgiven and we receive eternal life, if we really believe that God's grace and know we can rest in that, how can we have any other attitude when we worship but joy? Doesn't mean that there aren't times when we're more somber or when we lament. Lent is one of those quiet, reflective times where we're more somber, working towards Easter. 1 million people have been lost to COVID. Shoppers in Buffalo and teachers and children in Uvalde are gone forever. We have a plate full of things to lament about. But those somber times and the fact of lamenting are what allow us to get back to joy. And music and singing play an important role in making worship joyful. I've got both science and real life testimonials of what happens when we sing to back me up. Singing releases endorphins and oxytocin, which stimulate feelings of trust and bonding while eliminating anxiety and depression. Singers often have lower levels of cortisol, meaning they have reduced stress levels. Singing helps to deliver more blood oxygen to your brain, improving mental clarity, concentration, and alertness. And singing can boost immunity and lung function. Singing uses both sides of the brain. Language and words are interpreted in the left hemisphere, while music and sounds are interpreted in the right hemisphere. Singing has the power to alter our moods, improve concentration and memory retention, and conjure up memories and feelings. There's growing evidence of a link between singing and improved well-being. It also provides an emotional release, a way to express our thoughts and feelings. And singing together as a group, in our case as a congregation, also has benefits. It helps to build a sense of community, showing up, meeting like-minded people, and immersing yourself in the joy of singing can help create a sense of belonging. But singing in church goes beyond that. When we sing together in worship, we have the opportunity to praise God. It's a powerful, restorative tool which changes us for the better by refocusing our affections, realigning our priorities, and restoring our souls. Our spirit becomes more pliable, open, and receptive to receiving the Holy Spirit that God sends. And none of this is new. The Bible mentions singing about 400 times and is filled with stories of people singing. From Moses and Miriam gathered at the Red Sea, to David and his harp, to Jesus singing with the disciples after the Last Supper, before going out to Gethsemane, and Paul and Silas going singing in jail. Imagine being chained and locked up like Paul and Silas were because you're spreading the word of God and responding with joyful singing. When we gather here each Sunday, how can we respond with anything else? And then we take that joy out with us from church. Because, like I said earlier, if we truly believe that God sent God's Son so that our sins are forgiven and we receive eternal life, if we really believe in God's grace and know we can rest in that, how can we have any other attitude when we worship but joy? And how can we not want to take that out into the world, a world that needs a little joy right now? And then it will be well with all our souls. Amen.